So this Psalm 37 is a psalm that David wrote when he was old. You know, we have lots of psalms that he wrote when he's running from Saul and different kind of situations in David's life. But now David's old, and he's got some wisdom. And it reads kind of, for me, like the Proverbs. It's not really like a worship song. It's like wisdom from an old man. And so I'm calling it our recipe for peace, because we live in a very troubled world. It's nothing new. It's been troubled for many, many years. Ever since the fall of man, there's been trouble. And we are hit by it on every side, because we live in such a communication age. You know, we can't just shut the door of our house sometimes and have worship music playing and seal ourselves off from the world. It just sort of sneaks in. You know, you go to check your mail and up pops a bombing somewhere in the world, or you get a prayer request and, you know, people are suffering, dying. The righteous are suffering, need prayer. They're getting persecuted. There's so many things that can discourage us, can make us fret. And so David begins this psalm. Just a minute here so I can go to it. David, he begins this psalm. I have to find it here, I'm sorry, because I wanted the King James Version, so. Okay. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be, yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be upright and of conversation. But their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that the righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall be consumed into smoke. They shall consume away. The wicked borrow and payeth not again. The righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, they shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but could not find him. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and he is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. That's a lot of Psalm, and I can't cover every bit of it, but I will cover some. So we start out with fret not. And it made me think of fear not, as Jesus talked a lot about not fearing. In Matthew 10, he talks about not fearing when you go to witness, when the disciples were being sent out, not to be afraid. Because we tend to be overwhelmed by this world and those in it. And the Lord doesn't want us to worry, because it's the opposite of trust. And he doesn't want us to be envious. And we can all be envious of those who have an easy life, those who have a lot of goods, those who are never sick, those who maybe have grandchildren, those who, you know, whatever it is that you want, that others have and you do not. It's easy to be envious. So David is reminding us here. The Lord is reminding us through David, don't be envious. He's laying some foundations. And don't be envious of the unrighteous, because we know what their future is. And David reminds us all the way through this psalm, the righteous are this, the wicked are that. Like in Psalm 1, David is very conscious of the future of the wicked and of the righteous. I'm sure he reminded himself all through his life when he was running from Saul, all the different things in his life. He was reminding himself that it is not all as it seems. Right now it seems peace. It seems that people prosper and they have a good life. And why would they even need God? Because their life is, you know, cushioned. But the end is not. There is a judgment. But instead, what are we to do? We are not to be fretting and anxious and worried. We are not to be envious and wishing that we had. What are we to do? We are to trust in the Lord. We must have this attitude. We must trust in the Lord. Know his character. Know who he is. Know what he promises. And we must trust in the Lord and do good. It's not enough just to believe, as James said, faith without works is dead. We must trust in the Lord and then let that trust be obvious by our lives and what we do. These two things can't be separated. We must show our trust in how we speak, what we say, how we respond to situations. You know, I just think of our beautiful Susie and all the trials that she's going through in her health. And her confession remains, I'm headed to heaven. You know, she's a pilgrim. We're all pilgrims. And that is the kind of attitude we are supposed to have as we walk this life. Not looking just like the world, not like people can't even tell us apart sometimes. They don't know we're Christians. We live next to somebody for 20 years and they don't even know we're Christian. This should not be. We are light. We are salt. And we need to be different. So where are our priorities? What are we doing? How are we showing Christ? How do we show that we trust the Lord? Do we freak out every time something happens? Oh, I don't have enough money. I can't, you know, go on a vacation or whatever it is that we need. We need to remodel. We need to have bigger and better and go into great debt and then worry ourselves that we can't sleep every night. It's just crazy. That's the world. But we are His children. God is our provider. We live a different way. And I know you're also godly here, you know. So, I mean, you've all been walking with the Lord a long time and all. But anyway, God knows. We can live confidently, knowing our destiny, knowing, okay, maybe I have a little, but better is a little where love is. You know, that's okay. My daughter was dating a boy, and it was very interesting. This boy wasn't a believer, and you mothers of adult children understand that we don't have full control or even any control over what our kids do once they fly away. And so this daughter has this boyfriend, and he comes to dinner, and we're playing, you know, Clue around the table and just getting to know him. And later, he's raised by immigrant parents who are very ambitious, working really hard for the things of this world. So he says to Rachel, why do your parents drive such old cars? And why is your house, you know, why don't they try a little more to have more? You know, and Rachel got all mad at him, and how dare he, and this is my love, my little house, and my parents are good, and, you know, she's all, and we were walking the lake, and she was talking to me about this, and I just said, well, honey, you get a glimpse into his values. These are values. People of the world value money. See, it's more important to borrow than to live within your means, because you deserve it, and you should have it, and everyone else has it, and these kind of things. And so you drive a new car. You can't afford the new car, but you drive it, and it looks good. You know, I remember the folks in the ghetto of Philly would have these fancy cars, torn houses with boards on the windows, but a slick Cadillac. You know, it's like, okay, you know, it's just... These are not our priorities. My husband and I, we live simply so we can go and preach the gospel in Russia. That's just it. We have very few expenses, so we can go. People say, how can you go? It's like, well, I don't know. I drive a 20-year-old car. We don't owe anybody anything. We can go. But it's a shame that many people can't go because of debt, because of being tied into the lie of this world that we must have what everyone has, what the advertisement says we need. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox there. In verse 3, it says that delight thyself in the Lord. Oh, wait, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Dwelling in the land. This is a permanent residing. You know, we're pilgrims on this earth, but we do have a land that we're permanently residing in, that we're dwelling in. And that's our promised land. And that's maybe not right now. It's coming. Or it's this invisible world that we live in, you know, with our loving each other in the family of God. And verily they shall be fed like a shepherd. This is this shepherd tending the sheep, caring for the sheep. We are taken care of by God. He tends us. We don't have to worry what the numbers say, because God tends us. God takes care of us. We need to trust and have confident reliance on God, not envy and anxiety about what we don't have. Delight yourself in the Lord. This word delight is to be soft and pliable in the hands of God. That it also means luxurious, which I thought was interesting. That God's presence, that being in God's hands, There's where the treasure is. That's where luxury is. Luxury, of course, we know in the world is diamonds and furs and, well, I don't know. But in the Lord, being in the hands of God, being protected by the Father, sleeping at night in peace, that's luxury. Not being addicted to 1,000 drugs because we are so freaked out by the way we're living, you know. Are we soft and pliable in His hands? Are we delighting in Him? Are we finding our luxury in His presence? Is that what we look forward to? Is that what we want? Then, it says, we will have the desires of our heart. Because a child of God, I used to think when I was a young Christian, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's a very, very cliche little plaque verse. And that if I follow the Lord, He'll give me X, Y, Z. You know what I mean? I'm sure a lot of you, I don't know. It's probably true. He probably will. But I don't think we're to use it that way. It's not, if we delight in Him, He'll make us delighted in what He brings in our lives. Then we will have the true desires of our hearts. Spurgeon says we must make God our heart's delight, and then we shall have our heart's desire. If He is our heart's delight, we must delight in His beauty, His bounty. Our souls must return to Him and rest in Him as their portion forever. The next verse says, commit thy way to the Lord. And this word commit means to roll onto. It's kind of interesting, and I was sort of trying to wrap my head around that. What does that mean? Roll onto, roll onto. And then I was driving down Greenwood, and they are resurfacing the streets. Very annoying, you know, when the traffic is really thick. And they lay that tar, and then they bring the big roller. And that tar, which was not a part of the street, gets dumped on the street, and that roller rolls it right into what's there and makes it one. And so that's the picture I got, that we are to commit ourselves to be one with Him, to like roll our thoughts and roll our plans and roll our dreams onto the Lord, that His would be ours, that ours would be His, that we would be one Greenwood Avenue tarred together. And roll off the cares onto Him. Commit them to Him. Just like that water rolls off of oil, just roll it off onto Jesus. The things that you're committing to Him, just give them. Let them go. He is able to accomplish what concerns us today. You know, His promises are the things that David's talking about that distinguish us from the world with no hope. We have this hope, which is an anchor to our soul, sure and steadfast. We are a peculiar people because we're not freaking out. We're not freaking out at the elections. We know God is in control. We know God puts kings and removes them. We know that God is sovereign. See, we know these things. So when people are all freaking out and having these big discussions and trying to persuade each other, like it matters to us, you know, what we do. I personally have little faith in that. By the time the vote gets to Seattle, I've found that it's already whoever is elected has been elected. I'm always kind of scratching my head at that because I used to live in Philly and I felt a little more powerful. But in Seattle, the time change is like, okay, we're a Democratic state, so where does that leave a Republican or an independent, you know? Anyway, God is sovereign. It's crazy. It's kooky. The people that are running. It was crazy last time. We're all just like, you know what? But God is sovereign. I'm so glad. He's got a plan. It's going to happen His way. But we, if we remain in him, if we delight ourselves in him, if we commit our way to him, if we trust in him, just meditate on those words. They're very beautiful. I have them all underlined in my Bible. Boom, 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 boom. You know, commit, trust, delight, rest, all highlighted, because these are words I need. He's fighting the battle. He is the victorious one. What time is it? I have no idea. And when is this over, Heidi? Okay. So verse 7 says, rest and wait patiently. So here we are. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Again, it says, fret not. So what's our part? Rest and wait patiently for him. So what is this rest? It says, when I looked up the word, it means be silent. I thought, oh, brother. Be silent. To rest means to be silent. Dumb, you know. Zip it, as us mommies used to say. You know. Forbear and tarry. And do all of this with patience, with long suffering. This is what we do. This is who we are. We wait for the Lord. Then it talks about not being angry, because sometimes we can get jealous and then get angry at our situation, at our plight, whatever it is. There is suffering, there is hardship, there's blessing, and there's hardship, all a part of the package. And sometimes we can get angry, but it says here, cease from anger and forsake wrath and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So we also have this capability. You know, as Paul says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. We were forgiven. That's our difference. We're forgiven. It's not like, oh, those terrible unrighteous people and us righteous ones. No. We have all the ability, the same nature, but ours is being renewed daily by Jesus. And we've been bought with a price. Therefore, it says, you know, glorify God in your body. We've been bought. And so verse 9 to 11, they compare the fates of the righteous and the wicked. And in 16 to 22, again, the righteous and the wicked. I'm not going to go totally into it, but I'm going to take a little Heidi thing here. And are you troubled about finances? I love the way she did that. Verse 11 is, the meek shall inherit the earth. I have to find it because it's not numbered on my thing. What's verse 11? Can someone read it?
The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Okay. A little, are you worried about not having enough in your checkbook? That's verse 16. Heidi, you'll be my speaker.
A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked.
Are we worried about the future? Verse 18.
The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever.
Are we worried? Are we worried too much about our own lives that we don't give? Verse 21, 25.
21 and 25.
Yeah.
The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their descendants begging bread.
Are we fretting about what decisions to make in our life? Verse 23 and 24.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
Are we fretting over our lack of strength to even continue another day? Verse 39 and 40.
But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him.
So we win in the end. We're the winners because he won on Calvary. So we win. And so if we can just lift our eyes, if we can remember that we are pilgrims and strangers here, but we have a great inheritance, a glorious dwelling ahead of us, we must speak these things to ourselves. You know, I know what it's like to feel like an alien because I lived in Russia for 10 years I wasn't Russian. And I spoke a little, but not enough. And I lived in a bubble of aloneness much of the time. Because if I opened my mouth, they would know that I was an American, and then I'd have to have a big conversation. So I spent a lot of time keeping my mouth shut as I was in the city shopping or whatever. And I knew I wasn't a part of that culture. I knew it wasn't my home. It was obvious. You know, I loved it. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't home. And that is how we should live here. We get too cozy. It's in our nature to cozy in, to want to settle down, to just like the children of Israel, they kept settling down, and the Lord wanted them to conquer and to get rid of their enemies, and they would settle down. But what would always happen? They would always get assimilated into the heathen culture. And that's what happens to us. Even to us older gals who maybe are walking real strong with the Lord, things we get complacent and tame and relaxed. And so the Lord says that we are to trust in him and to do good and to roll over our life into God and to rest and wait patiently for him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you are in control. You are the blessed controller of all things. And we are your servants, God. And we are your people called by your name. Lord, we are your daughters, all beautiful and glorious within because of you. But Lord, sometimes we get distracted and we start looking around and we start getting jealous or anxious or envious, Lord. And we ask that you would forgive us and that you would help us to truly be light and salt and different, Lord. Make us different, Lord. Make us the aliens that we should be, God. Let there be a difference in our speech, in our attitude, in our priorities, Lord. How we spend our money, how we spend our time, what we do with our friends and with our so-called fellowship, God. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, to present to you a heart of wisdom. These are the words of your servant David when he was old. So, Lord, I pray that we could take them as the wisdom that they are, Lord, that you would help us, for we need your help, God. We need your help to trust, to wait, to delight, Lord, to cease striving, to fret not. We need your help, O God. We ask for this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.